Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Famicom Dojo podcast. Normally we... Okay, let's start over. I gotta think this through. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Famicom Dojo podcast. We had another episode planned today, but we're bumping that one back so that we can talk about what has happened recently. There was a major news event that I'm sure you're all familiar with.
Oh, yeah, the Anthony Weiner news conference.
That's not actually the event that I was referring to.
Oh, you're right. That's next week.
Yeah, that's next week. Although I would like to talk something about the fact that when you record things on social media, you can never really get rid of it, which is why I hate to play games with online leaderboards, because it will be permanently recorded in the annals of history how badly I suck at things. But that's another topic altogether. No, what I'm referring to is the Electronic Entertainment Expo, also known as E3.
I've heard of this. Small
gathering. You have heard of it, yeah. And specifically, Nintendo's presser. Can you call it a keynote, since E3 had already started?
Yeah, it's just a presser.
Yeah. It aired here. Well, I mean, it didn't. I mean, by aired, I mean I watched it online around 1 o'clock in the morning. So, and anyone who's been talking with me lately knows I've been kind of down on Nintendo recently. And I don't know. I just felt the 3DS could have been so much more. Not that it's not a good system, but like at its price and its region locking and all that stuff, you know. But I don't know. Nintendo's home consoles, I mean, that's very important to me. I've never missed one.
So what you're saying is you're kind of...
My body was ready. That's what I'm saying.
What about
my body was ready.
So, what do you think of the Wii U?
That name. It just sounds... I mean, it's absolutely like Nintendo's doing this purposely. Or maybe like someone on staff had taken a couple of English lessons, but not a lot of English lessons, and was like, hey, I don't know.
Don't people talk to Nintendo of America first?
That would be like if I decided to release a game system in America, and I called it like the Watashitachi, and then I named the next one the Watashitachi Anata,
yeah.
which translates to Wii U, and
or it could be Us Darling,
or Us Darling. Oh yeah, that's true. It is a very This is not a Japanese podcast, but
no.
I would like to point out that it makes just as much sense. Some of my students, I don't know how they even do this when they're that young, but the next day, even though the conference was on at like, you know, 1 to 2 a.m., they were already talking about it.
The global internet.
But anyway, they went, Kevin, the Wii U, what does it mean? And I translated it to Japanese, and they're like, that's stupid. And I'm like, yes, it is. But, you know, just like the Wii, which originally came out with, I mean, the Wii? Really? But
right.
We got used to it.
Well, I'm honestly not surprised that they kept the Wii brand, because it is what put them back on the map, and it's still the best-selling console, at least so far.
Oh, yeah. One of the best rumors I heard was that for some people had speculated that it was simply going to be called the Nintendo.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from. Wishful thinking, I think, is what that was.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It wasn't substantiated by anything. I heard it was because you know, they had leaked some of the streaming technology idea, but they didn't really know what it meant. And now we know that it means streaming to that 6-inch screen on the controller.
Yep.
But they would just call it the Stream. And everyone's like, really? The Wii Stream? Oh,
I think that's pretty funny.
But yeah, that wasn't the case either.
Nor was it called Wiener Poop.
Yeah.
which probably also is up there on Nintendo's ideas. But yeah, we'll get used to it as we get used to anything. Although it sounds a little too much like PU to my
or like Wii 2 without the
The reason I was really hoping it would be called the Nintendo was because then in about 5 years we'd get the Super Nintendo, and that would be awesome. But alas,
right. Well, it is basically like a Wii Plus, and people were a little confused because they saw the demo, didn't look at the text sheet.
I was so confused.
Yeah.
Because I was watching this live, and I was expecting a new system, you know. And I saw in the background of some of the videos something that looked too rounded to be a regular Wii.
Yeah.
But at the same time, all the visuals on screen during the most of the conference was something that looked exactly like a regular Wii, but upscaled. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I thought, is it even a new system, or is it just like an HD version of the original Wii, and the new system is the controller?
Right.
Because they were showing people using the Wii Fit board and the regular Wii controllers, and I'm like, is it just a new controller? Was everybody wrong? Did Nintendo just punk us? You know what I mean?
No. Well, let's run it down a little bit, because after you hear what it's capable of, you know, it'll be pretty clear why it can't just be a new controller.
Yeah.
So it's capable of 1080p graphics, and then, you know, can do the whole range all the way down to 480i, just like the other consoles can.
Yeah.
Has HDMI component, S-video, and composite outputs, which means I can still capture video for future Famicom Dojo and keep playing videos. So that's a plus.
That's good. I wrote to them and I said to keep that in for that reason.
Famicom Dojo can keep reviewing their stuff.
Yeah.
The big feature is the wireless video and sound streaming to the controller, with apparently very little latency, which I have to see to believe, but I guess everyone who's played it on the show floor has been said it's amazing. So,
well, I mean, I'm guessing that the Wii U creates its own little hub there. I mean,
sure.
If you've seen any of the OnLive demos,
No.
Am I? No. You know what that is, right?
Nope.
Okay, it's a console that like basically streams PC games from a network.
Oh, neat.
And to your TV or to your computer, you know, so you can get really good graphics and stuff.
Sure.
You should look this up, Sean. This is important. But
learn things about your craft.
Yeah. But there's latency there. But when they showed it at demos and stuff, since it was so local, you know, it played with almost no noticeable latency, and as they set up more OnLive stations across America, that's what they're hoping for.
Sure.
You know, to get for the whole network. But like right now, playing the experience kind of differs depending on where you live. And for me, living in Japan, it's not available, so I can't really speak for how it actually works. But
yeah. The Wii U apparently also has a slot for discs, which will play Wii titles. No GameCube. That was confirmed already by Red.
I don't think anybody's really surprised by that.
No.
That mechanism probably cost quite a bit, actually,
to put
in the Wii.
The two different sizes, I'm sure, you know, just by itself. And then they have their, I guess, the media for the Wii U games is like a proprietary higher density DVD format.
I heard this is from an interview with Kotaku, or at least it was posted on Kotaku.
Yeah.
That the discs are 25 gigabytes.
Right. So that puts
it around Blu-ray territory.
Yeah.
If not.
Well, basically more than the 360 can do if they need it for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unlike newer models of the PS3, it has four USB 2.0 slots, so that's pretty rad.
I guess that's good. I mean, I don't really use the USB for much, but
yeah.
I'm sure they'll find some use for it.
I'm not sure what you'll need it for, besides, you know, if you probably want to use like a wired adapter, because I don't see it on the tech sheet here. So you might be able to use the wired adapter from the Wii for your internet. And then I imagine the controller might plug in that way, kind of like the PS3 controllers do, but we don't know that for sure. And we know it launches in 2012, probably before Christmas, yep. I would guess. But
Yeah, it might be a while. I'm just very worried, I mean, for Nintendo, that by the time it actually does launch, Sony and Microsoft are going to steal the thunder with some announcement of their own. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you know, there's I don't think Microsoft's officially announced anything. I heard, you know, rumblings that they were hiring people to work on a new console, which means it's at least a few years away. And but like is, Sony might have something
have
by next
have,
year.
They don't have to have a console by then.
Right.
All they need to do is like a couple weeks before this thing launches, show one of their teaser videos, you know, with things in, I don't know where resolution can go from here. Do you know what I mean?
Well, there's not really much else it can go, because I know like the PS3 stuff, you know, their big thing was 3D, and it can't even do full resolution 3D because of the limit to the hardware.
Exactly.
So I'm not that worried unless they announce, you know, new hardware. But there's some confusion around the controller itself as well. It's like people are like, do I have to buy four of these freaking things now? And look how
just
heavy
one.
They are. Yeah, right. Well, you know, we don't know anything for sure about this. Nope. The rumors are that it's supposed to be sold as one SKU with the console and this controller. So you only get one per console, which kind of makes sense to me, especially because it's as expensive as it would probably be.
Yeah.
And then you just use, you know, Wii controllers for the rest, which seems reasonable. And I just enjoy that I don't have to worry about my investment going to waste for the peripherals I bought for my Wii, except I bought four controllers without Wii Motion Plus, so I got to replace them all anyway.
Yeah, or get some dongles, but
no, I don't want the add-ons. It'll make it big and clunky, and I like the nice
makes it
form
heavy.
Factor. Yeah. I'm sure there'll be Wii U branded, you know, once the system comes out, but you know.
Yeah.
So I'll probably just wait, because you know I have four controllers for my Wii, and I'll probably keep it that way if I ever. Well, I'll talk about that in a minute. But the controller. Sorry.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, I'm sure anybody listening to our podcast has watched the conference, but I mean, just in case, let's go over what this thing has.
Well, I mean, they didn't mention all this stuff in the conference. It actually came up on a fact sheet on the Nintendo Japan website, in the middle of the night, and no one really noticed.
Yeah.
So this thing's got a 16.2. Inch and 16x9 touchscreen.
16.2.
Sorry,
inch?
Sorry.
That's awesome.
I
take that iPad.
It's a freaking dinner plate. Yeah. Sorry. 6.2 inch and 16x9 touchscreen.
Yeah. There
apparently,
we go.
It's what did I read? It was like pressure and not capacitive or something.
It's the same as a DS screen.
Yeah.
And actually, we'll get into that later. But that's one of the larger disappointments for me. Actually, But continue.
Yeah, like I intimated, it's rechargeable, so you know you can plug it in, because I'm sure it's going to be a huge power drain, especially if you're streaming stuff from the console. It basically has the button layout of every other modern console, you know, apart from the screen in the middle. So it's got two shoulder buttons on either side, and they're calling the second L and R buttons ZL and ZR.
Well, I think that's based on the Nintendo 64 controller, where the bottom button was called Z.
Yeah, and if you use I think that's the same thing that they do with the classic controller. I think that has a ZL and ZR as well. I never really use them, because I just go for my GameCube controllers.
with what you know.
But I mean, this thing, you know, the Powit TV joke expose on this was pretty spot on. It's more or less an iPad with like the Wii controller on either side. So, you know, it's got a gyroscope, built-in rumble, a camera, microphone, stereo speakers, a sensor strip, and a stylus, all built in right there.
Yep.
So, I mean, this is one heavy-duty piece of hardware that not. You know, just like the Wii remote, I'm sure it can cause damage if thrown, probably more damage, but also damage to itself if you happen to drop it wrong. So I'm a little worried about that. But last but not least is storage, which already leaked that there wasn't like internal storage. They were saying like 8 gigabytes or something, which is 16 times what the Wii had, but we don't know for sure how much, just that there will be
it's
internal
still pretty low
storage.
Though.
Yeah. But you can expand it with SD memory cards, which I'm sure, you know, can go to 32, like the current spec. But also, and this is welcome news, you can use an external USB hard drive.
Finally.
Finally. So, I mean, this, you know, all this stuff gets it about 75% of where I wanted the new system to be.
And it gets it caught up to current systems.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'm not, you know, that's why I'm not too worried about, you know, it only doing 1080p and only being high def and whatever, because the other consoles don't have anywhere else to go unless they want to just push 3D a lot harder, and I'm not that concerned with
that. I think the buzzword for this next generation is going to be things like shaders or kind of effects, you know, because resolution's hit its cap until a new TV standard comes.
Right.
3D, there's potential, I guess, but it's not taking off nearly as well as anybody's hoped it would, including the 3DS, which is another topic.
Well, that's a whole other story, right?
But yeah, it'll be more RAM, more.
Right. But I did this video a couple weeks ago about like the rumors around a potential, you know, Wii successor and Wii HD. And one of my laments was that there aren't any third party games, and part of it is, you know, the capability of the system. And now that that bridge has been gapped,
Port City.
Yeah, exactly. So they showed us a whole bunch of ports.
Yep.
Which is fantastic.
Didn't show us ports, actually.
Oh yeah, that's right. They didn't actually show us ports.
They showed us part of Sony and Microsoft's presser, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they actually showed us footage from trailers for, you know, the PC, Xbox 360, and PS3 versions of these other games.
Get it on PS3 and Xbox 360 now, or wait a year and get it from us.
I was watching the Kotaku live blogging about it, and one of the guys mentioned that it looked just as good as the PC version. And that's probably because it was exactly the PC version.
Oh, yeah, probably.
It doesn't bother me, though, because they don't have the hardware finalized. They wouldn't work in the ports yet.
Oh, definitely.
They're over a year away from release.
But, like, I mean, that didn't surprise me at all. I mean, that the footage wasn't from the system, because Nintendo didn't show off anything from the system. You know what I mean? They showed like slightly upgraded Wii stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And there were demos on the show floor, but they weren't actual games.
They talked about the one game that they were working on, Lego City Stories. Oh, man.
Well, I heard that Zelda demo was playable. I mean, it wasn't a game, but it was on the floor at least.
It was not playable.
It wasn't?
It's camera movable.
Oh,
okay. It is rendered. It's in the same way those 3DS demos, the early ones were. Sure. I mean, it's not CG.
Okay.
But it's not playable either.
I'm hoping that they're going to have a reason for me to, like, not get a game on my 360 instead.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's, you know, a good storage solution, was a huge, huge, huge barrier. Because I have a 250 gigabyte hard drive on my Xbox 360 now. And that was a whole story that we discussed in our first podcast.
Yeah.
But the only other thing I can think of that would be a barrier is Nintendo's online experience, which... I don't have a 3DS of my own, but I've been talking to people like Phil Bond. Who own one, and apparently the online experience has gotten a lot better with the 3DS. I mean, it's gone
from terrible to merely bad.
well, okay. So apparently what they've done is there's only the one friend code for the whole system and not per game. So that's an improvement. I'd rather the friend codes go away entirely, but you can also exchange them wirelessly instead of having to type it in if you're nearby someone.
Yeah.
So that's good. Of course, you know, a lot of people I play with are, you know, not in this vicinity of me, because that's what online's for, is that they're nowhere near you. So that's kind of a pain still. And there's still no universal friends list of any sort.
But Nintendo is doing some things to try to get it better. I mean, one of the nicest no strings attached announcements at the E3 presser was the free 4 swords for everybody.
Yes.
I mean, that's something nice. And Nintendo announced that they're going to have gameplay videos on in 3D, and finally they're going to start doing demos. Nintendo, I would like to be the first to welcome you to 2005. And hope that you enjoy it here.
Oh, man.
but I mean, I you know, I'm being so critical on Nintendo because I love them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
The thing is, I'm going to complain. I'm going to complain to high heaven about all of the things that this system is lacking. But in the end, I'm going to buy it because Super Mario Galaxy 3, which hasn't been announced but is definitely coming, will look really good on my HD TV. And like Nintendo games before, it will be really fun to play. You know, yeah. I'll buy one because Nintendo's got the franchises, if not the hardware, and you know, things like that. And yeah. When I saw the Mario 3D, that will eventually get me to buy a 3DS. I don't know when. Can we talk about Sony just for a little bit?
Yeah, because
$250 for that?
Yeah, the PlayStation
That's
Vita.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, Nintendo's in serious trouble with the 3DS if they do not announce at least a $70 price drop very soon.
Oh, yeah. When they tore it down, they said something like, I don't remember the exact number, it was like $114, $120 to make.
Yeah, so they can make a profit on $150. I'll exactly. Give them $180, to be honest. But
I mean, of course, you know, you've got R&D costs and all, you know, the standard stuff they mention, but you'll make that back up on software if you make it the number one platform, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly, and they have time to do it, because when's the Vita even coming out?
Before Christmas this year.
All right, so they got to get cooking. That's why it's got to be right away.
But the thing is, Nintendo's never sold something at a loss, and I don't think they ever will. But yeah. they still have a lot of wiggle room here. They could bring it down to $150 and still be churning out a profit. And the stuff's going to get cheaper and cheaper to make as they keep going too.
Exactly.
It's not going to go up in price. But
yeah, like they have competition now. I mean, like, it's very serious competition that's going to beat the pants off of them if they do not take them seriously. And I know that they're very reticent to even admit they're competing with other companies.
Yep.
But I've been saying all along, you know, I buy my third party games for my Xbox because of the better experience and storage capacity that the Wii currently doesn't provide, and that the Wii yep. U might provide. So
but I don't know.
I mean, I will get this system for the first party titles, but you know, unless it's like I want to do like a review comparison, I do not see myself wanting to buy the Wii U version of like the next Assassin's Creed over the 360.
Oh, exactly. And I just don't think that they've said enough that's going to bring the hardcore gamer over. I mean, people are locked into their systems. If they're on PS3, they've got all their trophies, you know, their PSN networks, their downloads, which will probably be transferred to the next console, although we don't know. Please see our first podcast again. But you know, they're locked into these networks, Xbox Live, things like that.
Yep.
For a hardcore gamer to switch to Nintendo, maybe the ones who are growing up, you know, the gamers who came to the Nintendo for Wii Sports and stuff, you know, they'll maybe continue with Nintendo as to be their console of choice for their grown-up games, you know. Mm-hmm. But getting people to actually switch, there hasn't been a compelling enough reason yet.
Yeah, and I mentioned in this Wii HD Rumors video as well that, like, some of the games I play are like the Mass Effect series. And
yep.
From a technical standpoint, they could totally port it over to the Wii U.
Oh, definitely.
And it won't be out before Mass Effect 3 is, but they could still do it. Yep. It didn't stop the PS3 version of Mass Effect 2. But what's going to hurt for me is, you know, I've invested my game saves and all my playtime on my 360. Yep. So there's no chance I'll buy, you know, a Mass Effect for the Wii U. But but there might be people who haven't, you know, have been Nintendo fans and want a taste, and they can, you know, just like EA, I'm sure, is going to want to get to as many consoles as possible to sell their stuff.
Well,
and they're
going to
offer Mass Effect 2 and 3 for the Wii U at some point. They just like the PS3, they can't do Mass Effect 1 because it was a Microsoft Studios title. But you know, there's just so much opportunity for them to at least bring the titles that I play to this console, which just did not happen in this last generation.
I'm just really worried that it's going to be port crazy, of course, because not only do they have the current games like the Arkham game and Ninja Gaiden 3 and you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say Gaiden? Whatever. Anyway.
Gaiden, yeah.
They'll get that stuff, you know, probably day and date. But, like, the companies can also get really, really lazy because they've got a back catalog of about 5 years' worth of games.
Yeah.
That they can just... But
that doesn't worry.
Now, if they do that with, like, like a discount in, you know, like these classics for like $20, I'd totally get behind it. But they're probably going to be full price titles with just some goofy tacked on, you know, touchscreen crap.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're going to try that just to have an incentive to buy it over the other versions. But, you know, for the most part, I don't think they're going to really do that because they won't need to because you can just play with the classic controller or even that, you know, that big ass screen controller if you need to because it has all the controls you need. You know, so I'm not terribly worried about that, but I'm sure it's going to happen. But I'm just kind of wondering if you think the games are going to be like $60 like the other consoles, just because I know Nintendo's licensing practices are a little more strict than the others.
I suppose one of the things we have to keep in mind is how much it costs to make these proprietary discs. Right. You know,
probably
I know
not
Nintendo,
too much.
Nintendo does not want to pay Sony for Blu-ray licensing. I can understand that. There's pride there. But at the same time, if they had them on standard Blu-rays, it'd probably lower the production cost.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure. The discs Nintendo makes might be really cheap, but like whenever they do a proprietary format, take the GameCube discs, it takes so when a third party wants a run of a game, there's this waiting time because they have to go they have to go through Nintendo.
Which has been an issue since the cartridge days, and I'm sure a subject that's going to come up in the actual Famicom Dojo videos at some point.
Yeah.
Hint, hint.
Well, exactly. I think with anything, though, I mean, they have to be authored to a certain spec, and like I'm sure Sony oversees anything that's going on their platform as well.
Right.
But there's just less places that will burn this proprietary format than there are, you know, Blu-ray mills, you know?
Right.
So I'm not sure about that. But I don't know. It should be okay.
I think the other thing, too, is, and the other systems have been doing this pretty well, and the Wii hasn't, is lowering the prices from $60. Like, you know, like games that come out the first couple of weeks, you might find a deal on Amazon or Target or something like for $40. Something like that. That's how I got Dragon Age Origins. You know, only do it for a week or two, but I never see that, almost never see that for the Wii unless the thing doesn't sell well on the market down to $5. And I absolutely never see that for first-party titles. And they're going to have to change
that
if they want.
They definitely need to. And I don't know. I mean, the cost of everything's going up, so I wouldn't be entirely shocked to see $60 games. But at the same time, they'll probably keep it less than whatever the next gen has, because if the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox 30 billion or whatever they're going to call it comes out, I'm guessing they'll continue the trend of raising prices too. I don't think it's going to go the other way. And we'll get into that when we talk about. Like iPhone gaming later on, but
preview.
But the trends are changing. What a user is willing to pay for an experience is changing,
right?
Because there's full games, really good games available on mobile right now, for $5 or less. In many cases, about 99 cents. And they're definitely not as lavish or as big as presentations there, but they take just as much time to complete. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yep.
Like you pay $60 for a game that takes you 10 hours to beat, you know. But at the same time, you can pay 99 cents for a game that takes you 10 hours to beat. Now it's not at the same level at all.
No,
but it's. Also takes that same amount of hours that you know could have been spent with one. It's
it's just
opportunity
as fun
cost.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So and I think the big console manufacturers are gonna have problems with that in the future. Is that the value of our entertainment is going down? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, and we cover that like a little bit when we were talking about how, you know, like add-ons work, and they're trying to sort of not really strangle us, but you know, remove some sorts of functionality from games by having them downloadable add-ons, you know, nickel and dime here and there, just so that they can get more money from you know, that's like the reaction they would have to keep the current paradigm going, as opposed to trying to think of a new one.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of what I see with this streaming to your controllers is kind of like trying to do this kind of console handheld hybrid thing, even though you're still more or less tethered to the home console. You can take your game anywhere in the house, which you couldn't do before. And I think that's a really big deal.
I hear that it maybe not anywhere in the house.
Okay, well, it depends how big your house is. If you live in Japan, probably anywhere in your 2-room house.
Well, yeah, if you live in Japan, anywhere in your neighborhood. But yeah. I mean, but the thing is, I think that's one of the most disappointing things I had about it. What they released is fine. There's nothing wrong there. But what was in my mind when I saw it was so much better. If that makes sense, do you know what I mean?
Well, do tell.
Because I saw this thing and I thought, oh wow, like this would be awesome for things like micro games. Little mini games or like iPod-esque experiences. You know what I mean?
Sure.
In fact, they could port those things. Games like Cut the Rope, Angry Birds or something, which I'm not... You're a pretty big Angry Birds fan, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they could totally port that.
I didn't get into it too much. But I mean, I understand the experience. But, I mean, the thing is, then I found out it had to be within range. I mean, it had to be tethered the whole time. Right. But it's too bad. I mean, I know why Nintendo doesn't do this. I mean, they could easily probably put some RAM in it and allow you to take games with you. But then why would anybody need to buy the 3DS? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, the 3DS does have its own unique properties and connection to the its own virtual console store and the fact that it's in 3D.
Well, but there's also very probably limited hardware. It'd probably be heavier and bigger if they put in, you know, more of the guts. All they really need to put in right now is something to stream.
Right. Well, but, the other cool thing, speaking of the 3DS and just the DS in general, is something else that Phil Bond mentioned pretty soon after the presser was, how cool would it be if you could port DS games onto this thing? Because, you know, you have the second lower screen with a touch... you know, the exact same kind of touchscreen as the DS has, and then you got your big old you know, television up there, so you have to use both at the same time to get the full experience. But or even, you know, because the pixels, the actual resolution is so small, maybe just display both screens on you know, that single
touchpad. Yeah, that might be better. I don't really want to put those pixels on my HD
but
screen.
You know, I'm thinking
that other episode.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sort of thinking like, you know, how like the iPad versus the iPod works, and you know, there's like a high definition version for the iPad, and then you get like the DS version. Like, wouldn't it be cool if somehow you could like stream from your DS or 3DS your game, you know, onto the Wii U. And
that would be cool.
Yeah, you get the high definition version for free, or maybe you can download it because you own the game or something. Like they gotta tap into this market a little bit. And if I had to pay $5 over what I paid for this game on my handheld to play it on my home console, I'll do it.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's the thing, if the price is right, but Nintendo's not into that. Nintendo would be more like, hey, you can buy it on this, and then you can buy it again at full price.
Yeah, for $100 for both.
And they'll talk together, you know. But here's another thing. Did you ever play Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, like the original one for GameCube?
Yeah, for GameCube, I played a bit of it. I really had a hard time finding four people who would be interested to get the full experience.
Did you ever do that, though? Did you ever get the four Game Boy Advances hooked up to that?
No, unfortunately.
I did never four, but I did three once, and it was so fun. It was so fun. But then someone's batteries would die or something, or you know, we'd have to. It was really awkward. That classic Penny Arcade one of then I have to buy a house to play it in. You know, but
I had more luck with Four Swords, to be honest.
Yeah, but the thing is, it was a great experience though. And when I saw that screen, I'm like, there, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, something like that.
Nice.
And then we get the news. Now it hasn't been confirmed yet, but it's looking as though you can only hook one of those up to the system.
Right, right. But, you know, again, given the price of what it must cost to do that.
Oh, I agree. It makes sense. I mean, you don't want to have $120 controllers, you know.
Right.
But at the same time, like some of the experiences they were showing with the tilting and the aiming and the stuff, it's like Nintendo's going for the single player crowd, which is kind of weird.
What they've said, they've said that there's going to be some kind of compatibility with the 3DS. So it's still possible it can do that wirelessly with 3DSs. You know,
I guess it will remain to be seen what's all going here. Tell me, I mean, that golf thing was cool though.
Yeah,
Come on, that was neat.
Yeah, the potential for interaction between all the different peripherals you can get is really cool, but then again, you have to pay for all of them. But if you already have a bunch of those from your Wii, then...
Exactly.
This is why this is so good. And it's part of what I mentioned in that video was like getting a Wii HD kind of console, even if it didn't have, you know, this controller, is great because you have this huge install base already. And like, if everything that they own works and they're like first time gamers because of this system,
yep,
and they convince their parents or whatever to get this Wii U instead. Yeah. I keep wanting to call it Wii Stream. Or yeah. VHD or something, but yeah, if they get this new console, they can play all their old stuff, use all their old controllers. They can play all the new stuff, and this is kind of unprecedented. Well, not entirely because you know the Wii had GameCube compatibility,
yeah.
but I mean the GameCube didn't have near the install base that the Wii does.
Oh, and I think that'll be a perfect upgrade path for existing Wii owners, but. Yeah. Doesn't it strike you as something that's going to be very, very expensive for
people? Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
What do you think the price point is going to be? I think it's going to be $300.
I'm thinking $300, maybe $349. If it goes any higher than that, Nintendo's as crazy as a company who would release a handheld for $250. Oh. Listen.
Wicked sick burn, dude.
Before, I would have said $300 would be the absolute closing high. Actually... Before, I probably would have said Nintendo is going to go for $250 with this. Maybe the controller would bump it up to $300. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I was also someone who said Nintendo will never go past $200 on a portable, and I was wrong there. So I'm not gonna say anything that I'll regret later. But like, if they're really serious about this, if they really want to get this into people's hands and into people's homes, Nintendo might have to. I again, I don't think Nintendo is ever going to sell something at a loss.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to make this system survive, they really should try to make their profit at like a razor thin margin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need to do what the other,
just slightly above cost.
The other publishers, sorry. Yeah, the other publishers have a much, much better publishing deals. They give the third parties a lot more money, as far as I know. Well, not a lot more, but at least more money than Nintendo does. Aren't as restrictive in the way they publish things. So if Nintendo's okay with not making money off their consoles and pushing the third party content, which they historically have not been since forever, then you know maybe they'll be fine then, maybe. But they have to realize that, you know, they can't keep doing things the way they've been doing it, because you know their strategy worked okay with the Wii, but the shine's off that turd now, and we gotta
ouch.
Well, I didn't mean to say the Wii was a turd necessarily.
I know what you mean,
but isn't it weird though, like, without GameCube compatibility, and the fact that I can play all my Wii stuff, possibly upscaled to look better than it would be on the Wii.
That would be so nice. Have you ever? I've never done this because I don't have a PC. But
sure,
the emulator called the Dolphin.
Yeah, because they could totally do that with the Wii U. Totally.
I've seen screens of Super Mario Galaxy rendered through that, and it's beautiful.
720p,
it's so
right?
So much better. Yeah.
Yeah. So they could totally do that if they're smart enough, I guess.
Well, like, I mean, I don't know. Nintendo needs to go and log on to like NeoGAF or something for 5 minutes and go,
right,
hey, wow, people who don't work for us that do this as a hobby have done this. Let's get those people to put that stuff in our hardware, you know. But I don't know,
they don't even need to play DVDs as far as I'm concerned. Like, that, you know, that's just off the table probably.
Seems too straightforward for Nintendo to do, though. They're always a bit convoluted in their strategies, but
if they could do that though, like, I don't need my Wii anymore. I can go back to my GameCube to play my GameCube games, get a component cable on, because mine has that port, and it might cost a lot, but I do it, and then just have the Wii U and not ever play my Wii again, which is weird.
You know what I'd do if I was Nintendo? And this and listeners hearing this might go, wow, that's a stupid idea. I'm glad he's not Nintendo. But Nintendo's got a lot of money right now, a lot of reserves, a lot of capital to work with. and they have a horrible online infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo should buy Valve.
What?
Can you imagine that?
No, I can't.
Nintendo should buy Valve. Everybody's just unsubscribed to my podcast right now. But
they're foreigners. They wouldn't do it.
I know they'd never do it. They'd never do it. But, like, can you imagine if they had that kind of infrastructure and store system?
I'm trying to. That would be amazing. Yeah, I don't care if Nintendo doesn't do it themselves. Again,
it wouldn't happen. Not only that, but Valve have principles as well. And I don't think they'd want to move to that kiddie system. But
right.
But like, if something like that happened, that's what people were hoping for at E3. And I think that's what went wrong. Nothing that happened at E3 was that surprising.
Because mm-hmm. right.
So, details had been leaked about the controller before. Nintendo didn't release any footage of games they'd been making. They just had a bunch of logos and footage right. from PC and Xbox 360 versions. And it left me feeling a bit unfulfilled. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Nothing, but like, I wanted a bombshell announcement. I wanted that. I wanted, or something like, a preview for the new Dragon Quest or something. You know, something haven't seen before and weren't expecting. Because Nintendo needs something like that to get hardcore gamers on board. You want to capture the hardcore gamers? If they bought Valve or like bought Sega and Yakuza series is now exclusive to Nintendo or something.
Right.
Now I'm not one of those people who likes it when a company buys another company. You know what I mean?
Right.
Poor Hudson. We need to do an episode of Hudson. Yeah. Oh, rest in peace, Hudson. Yeah. But you know, I'm not a fan of that. But at the same time, Nintendo needed to do something crazy. They needed to do something. I mean, their strategy right now is incremental improvements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sorry, I know I'll be crucified for this statement, but another gimmick.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The streaming thing is cool, but I'm not sure it's as streets ahead as sorry, too much community lately.
Yeah.
It's not as big a deal as, you know, the Waggle. You know, like such a big deal that all the other companies emulated it. I'm not sure we're going to see anything quite like that. I don't think we're not going to see like Sony and Microsoft scrambling to get an iPad.
Actually, Take a look at Sony's new portable. Take a look at its PlayStation 3 connectivity. Right. They might already have it. In fact, they might have it before Nintendo has it.
That's not good.
Think about
that's
that.
Really
They've got
not good.
Move. They've got that little portable.
Yeah.
And it's already highly linked to the PlayStation 3.
All they gotta do
There's
is
a very,
just the
very
software.
Good chance that that the PSU as I will be calling this connectivity from now on, could actually launch before Nintendo gets out of the door.
Yeah, you know, you're totally right. That would be terrible. That would be streets behind.
Stop that. All right. but Nintendo, this could be great. Because I'm easy. All I want is my Zelda, my Metroid, and my Super Mario Galaxy in HD.
Sure.
On my TV.
Sure.
If Nintendo can deliver that, I'll pay, you know, what they're asking, as long as it's not completely unreasonable.
Yeah.
Which it might be. But yeah. It's already looking better to me than you know, the 3DS, I'm still waiting for some games. And there's the other thing. The Wii U, they announced all those games that I'm sure appealed to a lot of hardcore gamers, but
like me.
But when Iwata came on and he's like, "We listened to you. You want games. We've appealed to the casual. Now we're going to appeal to the hardcore." He said, "Games for everyone." And I'm like, "Yes, you finally get it. Mm-hmm. You finally get it." And then Reggie comes on and says, "Lego City Stories." And I'm like, "You don't get it." You don't get it. And then they showed up some other games, and they looked good. But again, Nothing that I can't play on another system that I already own.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where I'm part of everyone. Where's my games?
That's right. That's right.
And I'm sure they're coming. And as I said, I'm such a slave to Nintendo's franchises that I will be buying this system regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about it. What do you think? Is this the next revolution, or has Nintendo just jumped the shark on this one?
Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. Is either this is going to be the console that people think that they should have released in 2005. Or 2006, I should say,
yep.
And that, you know, the Wii will become an important stepping stone, but a distant memory, or it will be, as you said, when Nintendo finally fizzled out. And it's way too early for me to tell. I think we're going to have to wait until E3 2012 to know for sure, especially because Microsoft and Sony are going to have to play a little catch up to this. But if you're right, then by that point, you know, Sony is going to have something to rival this, and Nintendo is going to be in trouble. So, yeah, especially with not very many games coming out for the rest of the year for the Wii, I don't know how they're going to keep the momentum up for the next
year and a half. Oh, my Lord. It's abysmal. Did you see the release list?
Yeah, I did. I did.
It's like various incarnations of dancing, Glee, you know, and like movie licenses, and that's it.
Other than a couple
titles for Nintendo. Where is Xenoblade? Come on! Come on! Like, I mean, there's a number of good games. That Pandora's Tower, Last Story, Dragon Quest X.
Yeah.
Where are these things?
I want to see new stuff. I want to see new properties. No More Heroes, great, but there's already been two of those. I want to see more stuff like that.
But like not only is Nintendo not releasing anything, but like they've got games that are done that just need localization.
I want to blame Nintendo of America for. That is their fault. Got to find Reggie and see if his body's ready.
Lord, I was going to make a body is ready joke as well, but mine wasn't nearly as appropriate. but I mean. And that's the thing. It's just like Nintendo of America just gave up on the Wii. It's just, I mean, maybe it should be given up on. I mean, it is showing its age a lot now, but I mean, it doesn't have to be as bad of a place as it is right now.
Right.
Oh well. Anyway, enough on that. So I'm gonna throw it back to our listeners,
yep.
And we'd love to hear your comments on our thread or through Four Color Rebellion or one of the other places we post on.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know what do you think? Are we being too harsh on this? When Wii was announced, a lot of people were really, really hard on that, and went, "No one's going to buy this."
I was
Nintendo,
one of them.
Game over, game over. I saw potential there, but I thought it could have gone either way. But some people said, "No, Nintendo are visionaries. This is the future," and they were right.
Yeah.
Everybody is copying the motion controls.
They were
now.
Right for about 4 years.
Yeah, time has made fools of us all.
The other thing too is, I don't know what I was going to say.
You can just edit that out.
Yeah,
anyway. But so tell us, dear listeners, and we have loved hearing your feedback so far. We have loved this, mm-hmm. and it's really inspired us to go in different directions with this. But
well, you're making this podcast almost an hour long, so you're welcome, Satoshi Matrix.
Yeah. So is this the next big thing? Is this something that the other companies are gonna jump on? Is this something third parties are finally gonna have a reason for not ignoring Nintendo?
Oh,
will Mark Rain finally say something nice about a Nintendo system?
Doubtful.
Or are we currently at four GameCubes duct taped together?
Maybe 3.5.
I've already heard something that's very, very reminiscent. Do you remember when the Wii was announced and they had on IGN, they said that the power was similar to a souped-up Xbox.
Sure. Do you
remember that?
Sure.
I've already heard comments going around that this is a souped-up Xbox 360.
That's still better than the 360.
History repeating itself.
That's still better than the 360, though. I mean, at the time we were like worried about souped-up Xbox, the 360 was already out.
That's true.
It's going to be the best thing on the market, assuming nothing gets announced before 2012.
It's going to be the best thing on the market when it comes out, but right. It might not be the best thing 2 years later.
Dreamcast.
Oh, I can only wait. You know, I think we should do an episode about that.
About the Dreamcast? Yeah. Bully. All right.
But anyway, So anyway, looking forward to hearing your opinions on this, and we're not done talking about this
as
more details come in. And to tie it back to everything, I said that there's currently not the something for me, but how about you guys? Is there something that's really you think Nintendo finally got me? This is what I'm looking for, or are you also playing the waiting game? I've been asking a lot of questions, pick and choose what you want. But I guess the main one is so.
Yeah. Yes. No.
Yay or nay.
Thumbs up. Thumbs down. Yep. I'll also link that video I've been talking about all throughout this podcast. And of course, as we've been doing since we launched, we're offering a sweet deal on our Famicom Dojo Season 1 DVD, which people have been buying. There were a whole bunch of sales while I was out in LA covering BotCon. So that was very ego boosting. So, thank you everyone who's been buying so far. Please keep it up. Tell your friends. Our Memorial Day sale is over, obviously, but we're going to keep on, giving you this wonderful discount for all you podcast listeners. So,
hooray.
Man, that Dreamcast episode sounds like a really good idea. I hope we do that soon.
Yeah, let's do that now. All right. Well, that's all I got to say. I got to get to work. So thank you for joining us for this E3 special extra long thing.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Famicom Dojo.